Yeah, I got that out before it was recorded as chair. Off the back of the earth. And more. That chair will be all ready to roll it. It's fine. Ready to go.
All right, thank you. Welcome, everybody. Going to call to order the regular session of the Board of Commissioners of the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District at 6:04. May I have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Higgins.
Present.
Commissioner Benson.
Present.
Commissioner Newman.
Here.
And Vice President Coleman.
Present.
Commissioner President Dale
is absent. Yes. Thank you. All right, would you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And do we have a report on closed session?
Yes, there was no reportable action taken during tonight's closed session.
All right, thank you. And we'll move on to public comment. This portion of the agenda allows the public to speak to the board on various issues not itemized on the agenda. A member of the public may also request that a matter appearing on the consent calendar be pulled and discussed separately. So there's the opportunity to request to pull any items from the consent calendar. Pursuant to the Brown Act, the board may not take any action on any item that does not appear on the agenda. Each speaker is limited to speak for a period of 3 minutes regarding each item on the agenda when that comes up. Each speaker is limited to speak for a period of 3 minutes during the public comment portion of the agenda regarding items of special interest to the public not appearing on the agenda that are within the subject matter jurisdiction to the board of the committee. Would anyone care to make public comment tonight?
You know, you might as well move your eggs by right in front of you.
Was that your public comment?
Yeah. All right. I'm a good video.
All right. Thank you. Please approach the podium. State your name and your comment, please.
My name is Chris Moyer. I'm a representative of Outlines Local 34 in Oakland, California. I rise tonight to speak to an issue that was brought up when I was here in May. I wasn't here last month, but I would like to make a couple comments on some of the information you folks shared on your trip to the Offshore Wind Conference. I was very excited and very pleased, by the way, to see the board's, what I perceive to be the board's general acceptance and enthusiasm toward this project, and I'd just like to make a couple comments. Vice President Coleman said that you were looking forward to people viewing offshore wind development in Humboldt as a model for how the project like this should be built in the future. Just like to say that, as it says on our letterhead, Local 34 has been building the west since 1877, from the Golden Gate Bridge to the BART Tube to the new span of San Francisco-Oakland Bay Bridge. Our members have set the standard for large-scale marine construction in Northern California for nearly 150 years. Community members Benson and Haynes touched on community involvement and benefit from various apprenticeship programs and possibly looking forward, hopefully, into maybe even putting a training center here in the Eureka area. To our political activism on affordable housing and combating wage theft, Northern California carpenters, to which power drivers are a subcraft, strive to represent all working people in the communities we serve, not just our members. And finally, President Dale, who's not here, mentioned that companies are not coming here to do this stuff out of the goodness of their hearts. And that's why I believe organized labor should play such a vital role in striving to protect area standard wages and benefits on a project like this, as well as economic prosperity, which afford working people the opportunity for home ownership, yielding more property tax revenue for city services and better schools. So again, I thank you all for your support of this program, this project. And we look forward to being an asset and a resource in any way we possibly can. And thank you for letting me comment here tonight.
Thank you, appreciate it. Next.
Cody Freitas, Operating Engineers. I just wanted to thank the Board of Commissioners for last night.
Rob, you did an excellent job with the presentation, and the presentation was again as on point and awesome as we're used to seeing out here. You did a great job keeping your head cool when some of the Q&A people got a little enthusiastic. And I spoke to a lot of community members after the event that were thrilled that you guys allowed, even though you had only slated for 20 minutes of public comments, you allowed everybody who wanted to speak for 3 minutes to get up there and say their piece. And a lot of people were very happy with that. Thank you.
Yeah. Is there anyone else who would like to make public comment at this time? Not, we'll move on to the consent calendar.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and second to adopt the consent calendar. I don't believe we take any comment on that. So all in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed or abstaining? Hearing none, passes unanimously. Moving on to communications, reports, and correspondence received.
So no correspondence to note. I apologize. We did receive a public records request from the operating engineers. I don't remember exactly which division, wanting information dealing with bargaining agreements and any labor agreements and those types of things. And so we are working on preparing that public records request, and I'm working with the city attorney, the district's attorney on that piece. Then I wanted to say is that we're actively working on the project labor agreement that the board has given us direction on. We're hoping that we're going to be able to bring something back to the board and the community in the next couple of months to begin that dialogue. But those negotiations are actively going on to do a project labor agreement, working with the labor unions on the construction phase of this project, while at the same time trying to get as much local employment as we can within the confines of the ultimate agreement that is negotiated. I wanted to report that the Army Corps of Engineers has completed the dredging of the federal navigation channels. And this is really important for a whole host of reasons, and that we just received these surveys. These are dated July 1st of 2023. And this shows the bar and entrance at that location. And we have the surveys for all of the federal navigation channels, including the Fields Landing, Eureka Channel, et cetera. And so we really want to thank the Army Corps of Engineers and the bar pilots, because we should be starting to see Green Diamond get some ships come in. You'll notice that there's a big chip pile that's sitting out there. So we are anticipating, and I know they've been waiting for these results, which should get the ILWU out there working on those docks. So we should start to see some good ship traffic happening on the Green Diamond dock associated with that. Go ahead, Chris. Rob?
So last night we held the public scoping meeting for the notice of preparation for our CEQA document. I think 130 people signed in. There were 160 seats with standing room only, so 150 people seems about right. I'd say it was a very positive event, very well received. A lot of good comments. We had answered questions from at least 12 different people, and 36 different people provided comments during the event. One of the requests in the comments was to extend the public comment period for the notice of preparation, which is currently scheduled to conclude on August 3rd. And so we talked internally this morning, and it seems like a reasonable thing to do. So I'm still working with the State Clearinghouse to see exactly how you extend an NOP once we've already determined the end date. So I'll announce that next week on our website, but we're looking at extending it and make sure we do it exactly the way the state requires.
Good job on the meeting last night.
Thanks.
Chris?
All right, I'm not at my station tonight. I'm sharing this on behalf of Corey Moores, who is our marina manager. This is one of the many events that are housed here in Humboldt Bay. This is an annual car show that we host, and this is the best of show from the many participants. It's pretty amazing that we had this kind of show out. And it's also just a quick thank you, not only to Corey and Amber and here in the office, but the maintenance staff who gets the grounds ready lately it's been about every weekend we've had some sort of event. So Corey was pretty proud of this. He was pretty exceptionally excited about the turnout. We just thought we'd share it with y'all. So
you want to just briefly mention the speed bumps?
Sure. Yeah, I noticed that on the way in this one today.
Sorry, I feel awkward leaning over the table. So we've had a real problem with traffic here on the island and speed. It's been a lot of close calls. We've had a couple small little fender benders and a few confrontations. We all know that they're never fun. So we worked with a couple local vendors. Unfortunately, the cost was pretty astronomical for pavement. So we found another alternative and we installed so far, two sets of bumps. We have one more coming a little farther down the island, but it has greatly reduced the speed. We have people now going somewhere between 10 to 15 miles an hour. Typical speed was a little over 30. We also have quite a bit of enforcement. We've been working with EPD, as we've previously reported. So EPD is driving our island no less than once daily. And it's not uncommon to see a patrol car in here during the workday. So pretty excited. It's working real well. And appreciate Robert and his crew getting those installed.
Thank you. Is there any is there any district council report?
Nothing for me tonight.
Okay. Commissioner reports. Which end shall I start? You want to start us off, Pat?
Yeah. Went out fishing today on the Wharf Rat 2 with EJ, Eric Justine. And it only took me 8 hours to catch a halibut, but I got a 20 pounder. And then we caught rockfish on top of that. And so I'm about as relaxed up here at the dais as you'll ever see me. If I nod off, you'll know why. But on June 28th and 29th, I walk, swam, and crawled 12 miles and counted pike minnow. And pike minnow on the South Fork Eel River are down. And that's good because they eat fish that we love, the salmon and steelhead. And the Wiat tribe has a contract from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. And they've recruited the University of California Berkeley fisheries people. And they were shooting pike minnow on our survey. I loved it with a spear gun. I only tried 2 years to get a permit to do that. But I'm glad I didn't get one because the program with the Wiat really looks like it is materially reducing the largest of pike minnow, which are the largest consumers of juvenile salmon and steelhead. And instead of seeing tons of pike minnow, we saw tons of trout in 12 miles. We counted 2,200 steelhead or rainbow trout and only 1,160 pike minnow and only 106 of those over 16 inches. And so, like it or not, we're in charge of evolution. This shouldn't have been put in there in 1979 as bait in Lake Pillsbury. Then it spread throughout the basin and rose to the millions. Then the otters hammered them, but that doesn't give us a free pass. Like it or not, we're in charge of evolution. We put those fish there and they need to be managed. And so that was a very positive thing for me. That's our 8th year of the survey. And we've had as many as 6,600 pike minnow. And so it was down to 1,163. And I thought that was great. Have some really productive things going in 10 Mile Basin around Laytonville and also over in Covelo. And so I'm pretty fully engaged in the business of the Eel River, but also glad to be juggling in my responsibilities here.
Thank you, Pat. That's exciting to hear about the pike minnow.
So the dive team is in the water, and all of a sudden one guy peels off and he's like running like a deer in a 20 something. And I'm going, what's he doing? We're supposed to be swimming face down. And he was running back because they forgot the spear gun. And so then he followed us. It's just like, there goes like four pike minnow like this. And this guy, like, meet Huey Lay. Through the eye. These guys were just so, and you know, for me, I can only operate power tools under the supervision of my wife. I don't get to shoot a spear gun. So it was great for me to watch these guys pull this off. And so it it's really cool.
It's been a long time.
Probably
one of the few people who've eaten a pike minnow out of the Eel River from one of those.
Maybe if you cook them up like in a spicy Thai soup.
They're not that good. But Commissioner Benson.
Sure. Yeah, I just want to add what's already been said about how pleased I was to attend and see so much attendance at the Warpinger last night for the NOP scoping meeting. Rob, exceptional job. I just love the way you tell a story and bring lots of detail to it, and your facilitation skills are really, really great. And it was nice to hear all the comments. Clearly some comments that really stuck with me were finish CEQA before lease and extend the CEQA period. It sounds like we're already addressing that chance of extending the CEQA period. I would really support doing it on the peninsula around the areas of the most affected communities, by the project, and also in Stephen and Maya's jurisdiction or divisions, and that would be really great. Seems like we need a big place, possibly two, maybe bigger than usual, even if it's out there. And then to add into your presentation something about the nexus with the lease and CEQA, just because I think people need to understand that better. There was an interest in having CEQA done before a lease, but there are advantages and disadvantages to all that, and just might be nice to share with the general public a little bit more of our thinking about that and why it might be advantageous to have a lease ahead of time. You don't want to go into deep design until you are assured of having a place to do that business. And, there are gives and takes with that. And maybe just helping folks understand that better would be really great.
Just to be clear, extending the comment period isn't the same as having another meeting. So I think there was a couple of parallel requests there. One was to extend the comment period. Right. So that we're working on having a second scoping meeting. I'm not sure that is currently in the cards, but we can look at that internally and get back to you.
Yeah, I thought I heard that last night several times, just having additional meetings around.
We certainly plan on having additional meetings in the future. We don't know about another scoping meeting. It would be redundant. I don't know that we have anything new to present, but we could offer the opportunity for additional people to comment. But they
it isn't like it's very far distant, small peninsula to the work of your. Anybody that wanted to be there from Small could have been there.
So I encourage you to chat with the executive director on the details of that. But we're talking about extending the comment period, not necessarily holding a second meeting.
I see.
All right. Commissioner Newman.
Well, I wanted to just give you a shout out Rob, that you did an excellent job. I wasn't able to attend myself last night. I was fishing, but everyone I talked to said it was a great presentation. Great job. And I participated in two commercial halibut openers. They last about 2.5 days. Since salmon season's closed, we're reaching for things to do. And for the first time since I've been commercial fishing and tried this halibut directed fishery for commercial off Eureka, most I ever caught was about 800 pounds. I actually caught almost 3,000 pounds of halibut in these two openers. So I guess since there's no salmon season, the halibut moved in to help us out. So that's all I have tonight.
Can I ask what the largest catch was?
69 pounds, dressed.
So. The halibut don't even know what's going on with the surface. It's Fat City down where they live. And this is like, they don't seem to be fazed by Ninos or blobs. It's a rain of dead fish all the time. And it's Fat City where they live.
There's more halibut here now than there ever was. It's phenomenal how many halibut are showing up in Northern California compared to the past. So. Good things.
Thanks. Good job. just before I talk about the scoping meeting last night, I'll say I also for the first time came out to 4th of July at the Harbor District, and really like to commend the staff on an excellent job on keeping traffic moving. The place looked great. It was an incredible place to watch the fireworks. Felt like they were they were shooting them off right over our heads, which I guess they essentially were, because they must have the low elevation ones that you can see, like, even when it's foggy, because they all seem to be going off about just 20 feet high. I'm sure they're a little higher than that, but it was a really good job, and it was a great event. So, and then, yeah, the scoping meeting last night, Echo, great job, Rob. It was a great presentation. It seemed like the public also got a lot out of it, and there was a lot of education there. Great to hear all the comments, and I really am happy to hear that we're extending the comment period, so that we're already addressing those. You know, there's a few others and just a few impressions I had, and just like the need to really communicate with the public, because, you know, like, we've been living and breathing this now for like 7 years or more. And so it's like, sometimes it's hard to remember, like, not everybody else has the same comprehension of what we're planning out here and what we're doing. And, you know, it was good to hear a lot of concern, but I know one of the tough things is communication, but I would really ask staff to maybe think about ways that we can try and increase our outreach. I know we do far more than the minimum, but I think, you know, finding ways of, you know, maybe other media outlets that we want to be able to reach out to, things like that, I think that could go a long way, even though I also know that, you know, we can try and shout it from every rooftop and then people will still be like, we didn't hear it. But and then also, you know, in some ways it's, you know, when I hear people say like, oh, I didn't know about this till someone else told me, it's like, well, that's exactly how it's supposed to work. So we're glad that that worked. I did really take to heart, and it's not like it wasn't any surprise. And I've heard it before and I realized it before. We're not a terribly diverse group of people up here. And at, you know, at my work, we did, I forget exactly what it was called, but like a cultural sensitivity training with Stepping Stones Consulting. I thought that was really meaningful, and I would encourage us to look into doing something similar. And also finding ways to maybe, I don't know exactly what the legal way of doing it would be, but to encourage our contractors, you know, specifically like Crawley, who's going to be taking on a major project on our behalf, to have a float down provision for training such as that, as well as like the standard like ethics trainings that we do and all the other types of trainings. And I also will continue to push for having, you know, finding that balancing act between pushing for as green a port as possible, doing everything we can. Sometimes we have to push the boundaries a little bit to make the technology come up to speed. I mean, I do understand that we also need to get this built. So I fully comprehend that everything's not going to be in place right at the onset, but having a plan to making it fully carbon free as soon as possible. And, you know, we're talking about deploying wind turbines that haven't been designed and invented yet. And so I think there's other equipment that hasn't been designed and invented yet that can probably be brought to bear to this if we create the momentum. And I also, you know, I'm sure our federal and state partners are going to require the same as well. So getting out ahead of that. And I'm sure there are other things I'm not thinking of, but those are a few. So just, you know, with these sort of public comments, now I'll call myself out, because, you know, I was really like, realizing sometimes I can get cynical of like, we can do the most that we can, and people are still going to complain about what we do. And so sometimes it's like, you know, that can get frustrating, but I, you know, want to not give into that and really listen and try and, you know, address the concerns in the best way that we can. So that's what I have from my report.
Skyrider. Big wind is coming.
Yeah. Meeting, show up. And I also know, you know, I know that there's other meetings with particular, you know, other types of meetings and other outreach opportunities and things planned. So I did, again, it's like, sometimes I get frustrated when I see things like on social media saying, this is your only opportunity to comment on the project, but.
Besides 108 that you've had already.
Or, and that you will have, but then I have to remember, like, you know, they're not as intimately involved with that. And so that might be the understanding. And so it's our job to communicate, you know, no, this isn't the only opportunity. There are plenty more in a respectful manner, which I think we have done. So thank you. But moving on to unfinished business, of which there is none. So we'll move on to new business. Award a contract for the Woodley Island Marina Dredging Project. I assume we have a report on this.
Yes. When you know, when I was hired as executive director in 2018, I believe it was, the board stressed that dredging Woodley Island Marina was the number one priority that we had. And it's something that we've continually took into heart, and staff has really worked on this and has made this a big priority. And so that's why, you know, I look at tonight as a major milestone for the board's leadership, because this is, you continually, with all the challenges that we have with dredging, have continued to stress it over and over and over and over again, and just to continue to strive to do that. And so anyway, I just sort of open with that personal thought. As we know, this is the dredging area of Woodley Island Marina, and those dots are kind of the sampling locations that we have. If I can get this to work. And so within the marina, here's the contours locations. And, you know, for the most part, you know, the north is to the right of the screen. I guess it depends upon how you're sitting, but the it's shallower to the northern part of the marina, and generally speaking, it's deeper on the southern part. That's where the bigger boats are, and so to the southern part, it's about 14 feet, and you get to the northern port, and at low tide, the boats are sitting in the water. It's shallow, really shallow, in some of those fairways. And so, again, this is just another sort of illustration, and you can really see in the red where the problem areas are. And part of another one of those things that we've kind of done within this dredging is every year we've made it a practice to take a survey every year, whether we dredge or not, so we can kind of start to understand the hydrodynamics of the channel, where sediment's accumulating, where our problems are, so we better understand it. And we can also use this to calculate potential sediment accumulation and really look at how are we managing dredging, because one of the overall strategies within dredging, rule number one, is to move the least amount of material as you possibly can, because it's so expensive. And so you only want to move material if you need it. If you don't need to move material, then you don't want to pay somebody to dredge something. You want to dredge in the areas where you have. And for people that don't pay attention to dredging, you know, it's like a slow landslide, and everything is under the water and you just don't see it. But I can tell you our fleet sees it all the time, and they know what's going on, because when you are navigating your vessel over these areas, it's really critical. The fishermen have continually stressed to us, and we tried to listen to them intently, that when they go out and they're fully loaded with crab pots, it doesn't matter if it's a minus tide or a full tide, you got to get out when the crab are on and when that window is in place. And so it's something that we've really been stressing, or that our tenants have been stressing to us for the longest time, the need to do this. And so I've only got a couple of these, and I'm just going to kind of move on. And so again, I sort of highlighted that we have all of these dredge areas, and the only permit that we have left to get is hoods. And so today we received this email from the EPA basically saying that they're conditionally approving our use of hoods. It's not a final approval, but we're basically waiting for one sample, and that's a nickel sample, to come back. And we're anticipating that that sample, it should have been in today, we're anticipating that that sample is going to come in the next couple of days. And then the EPA should give us full authorization to use hoods. And so I don't know why this isn't working, but so the bottom chart, and I'll get to the bottom chart in a second, but really the top portion of this where you see the color coding, these are the red areas are the priority dredge areas. And these are the areas that we only have so much money that we can dredge and that we identified these areas in red. You heard me say that this is the shallowest part and you see the boats getting stuck in the mud all the time. The area in orange is that we have this area within the base bid calculations, but as you'll see in a second, it could be that we run out of money and we can't get to these areas. And so our intention is to dredge all of the area in red and these areas in yellow with the funds that we have, but it's possible that we could run out of money and not get to those areas in yellow. The areas in orange. And when we met with the dredge subcommittee, the dredge subcommittee really wanted me to stress this and to make sure that the tenants knew that we're going to do our best to dredge, but we don't want to give the impression that we're absolutely going to dredge these areas because we could simply run out of cubic yards and not be able to dredge those areas. Our intention is to try to dredge everything, but it's possible that we may not be able to get to those areas.
All right. Is the fleet positioned, and so like the shallower draft vessels are more in those areas of the marina that are shallower?
Generally speaking, is what you'll see here is that what these are is these are these dredging areas, and you'll see there's basically the fairways are set up like A through I is what the fairways are, and these numbers in the beginning, these are the fairway, C fairway, G fairway, et cetera, et cetera. And so these areas here, we are dredging down to 14 feet. Then the area two, these all go to like sub areas. This tells you how deep we're going to go. The areas to the south, we're generally dredging these to 10 feet and these areas to 8 feet, right? And so those are already not the deepest boats that are in there. The deepest vessels are on the Intai, which is farthest to the south. The largest boats that we have are there and in these areas. And then also the largest boats are on the outside adjacent to the Federal Navigation Channel. And as you recall, the reason why that area on the outside is yellow is because part of the dredging strategy was to get the Army Corps to dredge, and the Uquinna came and got them to take out a lot of material in that channel. So therefore we didn't have to remove that material. And so I just received those surveys. I'm going to be analyzing those and looking at this particular area of what the Army Corps survey goes in. But the reality is we have all of these little sub areas, and here's the estimated cubic yards based on the survey. And so what we're asking the board to do is approve a contract for 64,753 cubic yards of material. Right. And so within that, we received two bids, one from the Dutcher Group and one from Mercer Fraser. And we're really happy that we got two quality contractors that bid on the job. There's a requirement to do pre and post dredging surveys because that's how the method of payment is done, through the pre and post dredging surveys, which the Dutcher Group was and 25,000 for Mercer Fraser. The mobilization and demob costs were $1,050,000, which is a substantial increase of what we've seen over the previous years, and the $875,000 for Mercer Fraser. And then to do the $64,753, Dutcher could do it for $3,750 a cubic yard. Mercer Fraser's was for $44, for a combined total of the low bid at $3,498,000. And so the recommendation is that we award the bid to the Dutcher Group to do the base bid amount. As you recall, we went out and we borrowed money, utilized the dredge surcharge fund, and we accumulated $3 million. And so we scrimped and saved for years and years and years, and we finally got $3 million. Well, the bid came, the base bid is $3,498,000. And so we're $498,000 short from the preliminary budget that the board approved. And so as you recall, on June 23rd, I believe it was, the board adopted a preliminary budget. And within the preliminary budget, we had allocated $3 million for that. So in order to award this contract, we basically have to find some additional funds. And when we went, the board approved it, we would like to have basically an additional $349,000 for contingency. And part of that gets to something I'll get to later, which is the method of payment is when you're dredging, then you pay for the dredging depths, but the contractor, you can't tell exactly how deep that you are. And so you pay for 1 foot of overdraft. So they could go 1 foot deeper and you would still pay the contractor. But if it's greater than 1 foot, then the contractor basically absorbs that cost within this.
Were we able to, or were they able to share mobilization and demobilization with any other customers, or didn't that fall through? It seems like it came in pretty high.
And so that's kind of this next piece. And so it's kind of as this, the first sort of question is as well, we're already $500,000 short. So how can we get that $500,000? Where can we find that $500,000? And so really option A, B, and C are looking at ways that we could just find that $500,000 and then to do the dredging. And then the option D and E are, well, how might we be able to do the dredging plus have additional contingency so we can make sure that we get all the dredging that we possibly can. And so you'll notice down here below is that we met with Green Diamond, we met with the other partners in the area to see if they would be willing to partner in with us. And Chevron said that they want to dredge with us, that Chevron would like to dredge. I was in communication with them as early as Monday, had sent them over the bids. And they said they want to partner with the Harbor District, and they would like to, because it's a win-win situation, because they could save basically $500,000 on mobilization costs and take advantage of the good price that we got on the cost per cubic yard. They had some concerns, and they had said to me they were going to analyze it and get back to me as soon as possible. And they felt like they might be able, their team was going to meet by the end of this week to really look and see if they could partner with us. But as of tonight, I don't have that. And so Chris and I met with Dutra on 2 days ago, I believe it was. 2 days ago, we met with Dutra and we said, look, we outlined our plan. What we wanted to do is to get Chevron to bid and have them contract directly with Dutra. And our goal is that we would share the mobilization costs with Dutra. And what we had said is that what I'm asking the board in this recommendation is to authorize the expenditure of up to $3,500,000 for dredging. And then if we can get Chevron to partner with us, then I would still expend that other $500,000 and just dredge more cubic yards in the marina and take as much as we can. We wouldn't actually receive any additional money or reduce our expenditure, but what we would do is we would get more cubic yards, the equivalent of that approximately $525,000. And so we're still actively working on that. But at this point in time, what staff is proposing to do and what we met with the budget or the dredge subcommittee on is within the preliminary budgets, we found about $180,000 where we could make some adjustments within the preliminary budget that you had approved. And then had spoken, there's $152,000 of Woodley Island capital expenditures besides the dredging. And we felt like we could try to save about $75,000 of that and defer that for this year. Cut on the Bay Street mitigation project. We felt like we could reduce about $38,000 from that because we don't need the 75 and the 100% drawings until after we get the permits. And so we can defer that expenditure until that actually goes into place. And then within some cash that we have on hand, that we would use approximately $205,000 of cash on hand. And so the staff recommendation, and we discussed this with the DRED subcommittee, and they concurred that we should go to the board and ask the board to approve a contract for $3.5 million. And then what staff would do when we come back with the budget, which there's a special meeting that's scheduled to adopt the budget at the end of this month, then staff would allocate $3.5 million. And the intention is that the $3.5 million would come from these sources. And with the caveat that we would continue to work and to try to get Chevron to reduce that mobilization cost so we could get the additional cubic yards of material. In conclusion, I just wanted to thank both Mercer Fraser and Dutra. It's a lot of effort to put in and bids, and we really appreciate Mercer Fraser, who is a local contractor and the local. We'd love to get local, but we're also extremely happy that with Dutra, they've dredged Woodley Island previously. It's a top-notch professional organization. And Chris, could you just do that video real quick? And before you push it, what I want to just kind of explain what this is all about is part of this idea with we only have this $3.5 million. And so we need to try to keep the cubic yards at a specific level. And so we met with Dutra and he said, what are the strategies that we can work together to make sure that we can do cost containment and that we can keep the cubic yards together? And we specifically asked them if they monitor the cubic yards and how they go about doing this. And I wanted to show a quick video that kind of outlined how professional dredging operations use software to tell exactly what depth they're in, and that at the end of each day, they can give us a fairly accurate assessment of exactly how many cubic yards of material that they did. And so when you work with a quality contractor like Dutra that does this professionally for a living, then each day they can give us a running total on what the cubic yards is. And so that's why when we get to that orange area at the end, then we can start to prioritize some of these areas. So what you're gonna see when you look at this, I encourage you to this is an actual dredging operation. And so in the second screen here is the software that when the excavator bucket goes down, it will show you how they real time can see exactly where the dredging are. And when they set these buckets, they can literally set the buckets so that it will stop at a specific depth within the marina. And this is kind of the level of accuracy that you can get with the dredging. So it's just like 20 seconds or so. Can you put it on the full screen, Chris?
Down in the corner of the video.
Sorry. One to the right.
All the way to the right. Hold on, let me get up. Quarterback. So, if you could just. As they're dredging, essentially the bucket goes over, the buckets goes down. You can see the bucket within the screen. And the bottom level is basically the lower level of the dredging where they want to get to. And so they can accurately get to the dredge depths. And then based upon the surveys, the cut and fill calculations, then they can give a pretty accurate level of exactly how much cubic yards of material they're going in. And the software also enables another number of other things because we have the pilings. We don't want to damage the pilings in the marina and other things. And so Dutra really felt like that they could work with us, and within the software and the skilled equipment operators that they have, that we could stay within the 3.5 million and that 64,000 cubic yards of sediment. And so with that, staff recommends that we approve a contract with Dutra for up to $3.5 million. And if we approve the contract, then The preliminary start of dredging, we anticipate, would probably be in the middle of August.
Great, thank you. Any questions from the board? All right, then I guess, thank you for that presentation. Any comments from the public?
Hello again, Cody Prairie, Software Engineers, Delegate, Humboldt County, and Delmar Building Trades. Larry, I was really excited that you brought up the dredge pack system that Dutra uses. I have previously operated the dredge pack system as a dredge operator for the Dutra Group, and I can vouch for the information that that program, which is not cheap for them to employ, gives the operator in the seat that allows you to put, whether your clamshell grading bucket, excavator bucket, whatever means and methods you're using, tell your depth, your grade, and what you've extracted. And it really helps the operator in the seat who can't see what they're doing have very good knowledge that is usually backed up and supported by a multi-beam survey after the fact. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. All right. There's no more comments from the public. I will entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve the bid award the bid to Dutra under option D for up to $3.5 million.
Have a second?
I'll second.
A motion and a second. This can go straight to a vote then. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes.
Finally.
That's the least I've ever heard you say about dredging, Pat. You must have been tired from fishing. No, there wasn't an opportunity. You missed your opportunity. Removed.
Okay, I said
a lot.
It's not rational. Millions. We're dumping the sediment into the deep instead of using it to cope with climate change around the edge.
Is this future agenda item you bring up?
Considers dredge material not spoiled but resource. So this is very retrogressive. It's very expensive. It's very unsatisfactory. Thanks for recognizing me, Stephen.
We've
got to get out of this. It's not a rational way that we're managing this, and the way that the district is constrained because of irrational permitting restrictions. It's costing the public a huge amount of money. And this isn't going to get any cheaper over time. So I'm not sure if or when we'll get past the permit hurdles, but it would certainly be desirable because we could run something like a robot up and down here that would blow the smelt out of the way, suck up the sediment, could be operated by staff. And we got to get there. And if we had the suction dredge, then we could also be way out of there. Steven, you shouldn't have done that to me.
I know. I shouldn't have done that to myself. I don't know what I was thinking, but I appreciate it. I agree with it. I agree with the sentiment. So,
future
agenda items. Catch me on this.
Yeah.
We did an expose.
In the future agenda items before you.
Yeah. No, I'm going to. So,
what do you then let it in?
We have some future agenda items here listed. Adopt final budget at special meeting on Thursday, July 27th, 2023. And it looks like another conversation about subcommittees.
I wanted to add one more thing on that, is that so we've been in discussions with the Army Corps of Engineers for some time. And so the Army Corps of Engineers is going to be having a hearing in Eureka. And I'll send out the invite on the exact date and time, but it's on the nearshore placement of dredge material. And it's something that the regulatory agency has been asking them to do for a long time, is basically instead of taking the sediment from the entrance and depositing in hoods, they would take the material and then they would go between the North Jetty and basically the Mad River. And in approximately 50 feet of water, they would do a shallow placement of approximately 6 inches deep along a narrow band. And then because it's sandy material that's in the South Jetty, and the jetties are basically stopping the migration of sand from the Eel River up to the North Jetty, what that would enable to do is that sand to then migrate back onto the beach on the North Jetty portion, and help with the dune replenishment. So it's something that they've been asking to do. And so the Army Corps, we've been in discussions with them, and the EPA and the Army Corps are actively moving forward with a pilot project, and they're going to be conducting the first public hearing. And the reason why I'm bringing this up on a future agenda item is because we may want to consider having a discussion at that at the board level, and providing a comment to the Army Corps of Engineer and the EPA, because it's something that we've been discussing as an alternative to placing some of the sediments in that we have in the bay, doing that near shore.
Like, we pump sediment out of the bay into the surf, and there was huge public outcry because it's black and stinky. But then we conducted a study and found out that it didn't hurt anything and may have enhanced perch fishing. And so it was found to be benign. And then it's still taboo. And so, like, we could take the stuff from this marina, and now they're talking about dredging and then depositing it on the outside. We could just blow it to a system of, like, in sluice and put it back out there. And this is done in other harbors in California. So the fact that we can deposit the sediment where it's needed because it's starved because jetties, it's just a simple matter of aesthetics and past environmental wars that we've had where there are still scars. And so I've been just running out of order. You're fun.
Yeah, I know. I'm letting you go. Because this is, we're talking about a future agenda item. So this isn't agendized, but we did it. And the dredge item is already closed. So, yeah. So I'll ask you to hold your thoughts for our future agenda item.
We should consider enhanced perch fishing by.
Then.
Are we going to add this as item C to the future agenda item?
Yeah. So that's
discussion of.
I'm sorry. Yeah, the discussion.
The near shore.
The discussion of the near shore is as a future agenda item. I would also like to bring back, not necessarily on the July 27th meeting, but requesting staff to take a look at, you know, if there are options for increasing our outreach for future public meetings, and also looking into cultural sensitivity training for staff and board. Anything else?
Just to let the board know that this will be the first time that I'll be out of town for a board commission meeting, and so I'm going to try to phone in, but I'll be in the high alpine area and may or may not be able to phone in, but I'll give it a try. So if I'm not here,
you have to post it outside your tent.
Yeah, will your location be accessible by the public who wishes to backpack into it? All right. With that, I will adjourn. Thank you, everybody.